Amen. Standing in his presence on holy ground. We have Sunday school in the back. If you're new and you would like to join in the back, we have from nursery all the way up to 18 through high school. Amen. And we appreciate all of our children's ministry who serve each week back there as well. Amen. Thank Miss Tina for the prayers, but I'm not preaching today, so I'll just pass that over on to Mr. Caleb. The other one, yeah. Caleb is coming to share with us today. He'd asked me if he could share a little bit about the ministry that he does at Chi Alpha and Marshall University and the ministry that they do there. But also, I said, well, I want you to just go ahead and share the word this morning, too. And so I've seen such growth in Caleb. He has a heart for people. He has a heart for ministry. And I'm just proud of what the Lord is doing in and through him and for the heart that he has to touch our college community. Amen. We're touching locally. We're touching colleges on several. Miss Brittany and Caleb, we're touching colleges and we're touching the nations of the earth. And I just thank the Lord for that and what you guys do out of this house and for the heart that you have. And so I just thank God that he puts different callings, different anointings, and different ministries on us, and that he is doing what he does best. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. So if you would welcome Mr. Caleb Murray and Brooke and Jack with us this morning as he comes and shares the word.
Thanks. Sweet. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Man, it is good to be here this morning. I was tore up in song service, so you guys might have to help me out. But, man, I just, that song we just sang, man, that's a declaration, right? Holy means set apart and to welcome, the presence of God into a place. And this place has been set apart to do that. But I believe you can do that in your homes, in your businesses, where you go and you say, this is holy ground. This is not a place for destruction or the enemy or any sort of force to come against you, but this is holy ground, place for the presence of God to dwell. And we can make that declaration because the power of God has been given to us, right? He said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Will you be my representatives on this earth? And so, man, I encourage you, if you are in a place that feels dark and distant from the Lord, would you make a declaration that that place will no longer be that, but holy ground? Man, it's so good. It's so good to be here. I thank Lisa for the opportunity. Like she said, I'm going to be sharing a little bit about what I do and how you guys can help. And then I'm going to be preaching a little bit of word. I'm preaching a one-verse sermon today. So it might be short, but my wife's probably laughing because it'll probably still be long-winded. So hope you guys had a big breakfast. like Lisa said, I'm Caleb Murray. If you guys don't know me, there's a bunch of new faces in the house this morning, which is good to see. And that's my wife, Brooke, and my little boy, Jack. It's his birthday today. Yeah, he turns 3, just a few more years, and he can get a job and move out of the house. So, no, I'm just kidding. I was almost in tears this morning. I feel sick. He can stay forever. I guess I'll see. But thank you guys for all the love I received. Last time I was here, such a sweet time. To be together, and just some really encouraging words, and just prophetic, just pouring out to me, and it was just, and I just want to thank you guys that, I think sometimes we don't realize the reverberations of our actions in the scope of eternity, but it means something. It means something because not only do you speak into my life, but I can pass that on to the people I minister to, right? That we have not just power, right, in the physical, but we have the power to tear down strongholds in the heavenlies. Yes. to encourage and build up the church to be a mighty force for the kingdom of God. And so I thank you guys, the leadership in this house, but also those that aren't leadership in this house, those who have served, man, I thank you guys for just welcoming me and loving my wife and just always welcoming me back. Again, I didn't get to print off my notes, so they're on my phone. So bear with me as I use my face recognition to open it. And I also want to thank the people that are already on are supporting the ministry at Marshall. I can't do what I do without you guys. Yeah, I really can't. And so thank you guys for that. And I can't do it. I used to say it differently, but the way that God designed it, I really can't do what I do without you guys. And so I appreciate that. So like Lisa said, I work for Chi Alpha or Chi Alpha, Chi T Alpha at Marshall University. People say it a lot of different ways, and it doesn't really bother me. It just stands for Christ Ambassadors. I'm a missionary, and I believe the college campus is the most strategic mission field in the world. Yeah, it's not. I don't say that lightly or just to get you guys drawn in, but I believe it's the most strategic mission field in the world. The college campus trains the leaders of tomorrow, and you have people not just on this from the state or the country, but you have people from all over the world coming to study at American universities. And so what happens is they study and they learn, and then they get sent out all over the world. And so I believe it's strategic. You know, and if we win, and again, you know, I think if we win the college campus, man, it could change the world. Technically, though, I forgot to pray, so I'm going to pray because I need the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for this time, for these people in this place. Lord, this is holy ground. Holy Spirit, would you empower me to speak whatever you would have me to speak? You're good, God, and you always will be. We love you, God, and we thank you. Open up our hearts to hear what you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so that's what I am technically. I'm a missionary associate for Chi Alpha Campus Ministries under the umbrella organization Assemblies of God U.S. Missions. And I'm filling the role of lead director on Marshall University's campus. So I'm a missionary, and I fulfill the role of lead director for Chi Alpha on Marshall's campus. Functionally, though, right? Functionally, what my position is I'm a teacher, and I'm a pastor, right? I take care of 18 to 22-year-olds. That's the right age group. Yeah. No, I take care of 18 to 22-year-olds through possibly, and I think, and again, I'm not just saying this to, like, suck you guys in, but I think it's one of the most tumultuous and life-changing times in a person's life, right? That range where they get out from the house and they have to decide, am I going to believe what my parents have told me? Am I going to let my situations and my past define me? Or I'm going to learn what God has for my life. And like I said, you guys have been preaching to me already this morning. That the message, right, that they are known. And that they are loved by a father. That can be one of the most powerful things that they could hear. I have students coming from places of abuse, from homes that they just couldn't wait to get out of. Students that are literally on the precipice of death, and we have the opportunity to share Jesus with them. Not some historical figure in a history book, but the Savior of the universe that wants to really know them and wants to be fully known, and he wants to change their lives, not just for a moment or a time, but for eternity. Man, he has a plan for them. God loves them, and we get to tell people that. Man, college changes people, and that's a fact that would be true whether or not there's a campus ministry. And it can be for the better, it can be for the worse, and we've seen that, right? You guys aren't, you know, blind. You see it, you know, you hear people talk about it. You listen to moms cry about it, or dads be worried about it, right? And it changes people, right? For better or for worse. And we have the opportunity in the moment to say, okay, we're going to make it for the better. That these students are not going to leave college campus changed and broken and destroyed, but they're going to leave empowered and ready to make a difference. I'm not saying they're all going to be pastors or missionaries or whatever, but I am saying that they're going to make a difference. College is the place where the people that are going to take care of you when you're older and teach your kids, that's where they go. And so we can send them out with the message and knowledge of who Jesus is, or we can send them out haphazardly with the message and knowledge of whatever they learn there from the world. And so I think it's important, and I think it's good. Right? And to do that, right, to minister to college students, right? And like I said earlier, I can't do it without people like you guys, right? From individuals, churches, businesses. Like most missionaries, I'm required to raise a budget, right? And my organization sets a certain amount for me, and I'm required to raise that, right? And I'm in the middle of that fundraising campaign, and my goal is to hit $2,100 in monthly commitments by the end of the summer. And to do that, I'm asking people, or I'm calling people, or I'm talking to churches, individuals, and it's been a while since I've done this at a church, so if it's clunky or rusty, you know, it is what it is. So, but what I would ask you guys is sometime before the end of service, would you pray? If college students, or if this ministry has stirred or pulled something on your heart, would you pray and ask God? You say, God, is there a way that I could help, or would you raise me up to help this? And you could talk to me more in the back of how you can do that, right? And that's one way, right? Financially, that's how you guys can be a part of this and how you can help. But the other way is this, and this sometimes sounds like a consolation message or a consolation saying, but this is how you can help me, is if you would pray for me. And I don't mean that as something to say, well, if you can't give, would you pray, you know? It's just like a, you know, generic thing that, you know, it sounds good to, yeah, it sounds good as a Christian. But here's the thing, exactly, right? The church knows this. Is that prayer moves the heart of God. I didn't make that up. That's scriptural. Right? That prayer moves the heart of God. Man, there is spiritual warfare, and I need people fighting by my side. Right, to rip people out of darkness and into light. Yeah. I could tell you stories about how God has ripped people. I'm not talking like metaphorically, but I'm talking rip people out of the clutches of death. And so would you pray for me? Would you pray for the students at Marshall University? And lastly, this. And this is going to sound like a joke, but would you, if you're interested in learning more about it, you can sign up. And I send out a newsletter every so often. I wish it was monthly, but I'm just not that good. It's close enough, right? And so, you know, I have a sheet in the back because I didn't get it printed off, but you just, you know, it says newsletter and chicken scratch, and then you can put your name and your email down. And I'd love to keep you updated about what I do. Yeah, I'm going to get tore up before I even get to the preaching part. So normally, right, the spiel and the ask goes at the end of the message, but I don't want you to miss what I have for you guys today. Like I said, it's just a one-verse sermon, and so hopefully you guys can clutch onto that and receive what I think the Lord wants to give you today. But if you guys want to go ahead and turn to Judges chapter 3, verse 31, at the beginning of the book, Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Right after Joshua, right before, what is that, Ruth? Sweet. Cool. Ruth's one of my favorite books. Look at that. All that. I love Ruth. But yeah, so it's Judges chapter 3, verse 31. I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to talk about it a little bit. How's that? Is that all right? This is what it says. This is really powerful, so listen up. After Ehud came, Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad, he too saved Israel. That's it. Right? Shamgar, he too saved Israel. Right? Here's what's interesting about this is if you read before Judges and you read after Judges, you have two incredibly detailed, wild stories, right? Before Shamgar, there's Ehud, this left-handed man who snuck into this like king's chamber, and then he like cut this king open. This king was really big, and then like a bunch of crap came out of this guy, and then like, I mean, it was just wild. It's like too detailed, right? It's like TMI, right, kind of story. But then, and then he like jumped out the window and like Assassin's Creed style, right? I mean, this was crazy, right? And he saved Israel, right? God raised him up. The period of the judges was this like period of like crazy, like not really lawlessness, but like the Israelites would sin against God, and then God would let a people group come in, then he'd raise up a judge who was like the spiritual leader, political leader, warrior leader, like leader of the armies, and he would save Israel, right? God would use him to save Israel, right? And it was a wild time, right? If you want to see a movie about it, there's a movie called Judge Dredd, right? It's about this, I'm just kidding, it's inspired by it, but it's got Sylvester Stallone, is made in the 80s. Yeah, it's a good one. one of my favorites. Anyway, so this judge, right, Shamgar, he's in the middle of the story. And then on the other side, you have Deborah, right? God raises up this woman, right, who this mighty warrior woman who would lead Israel because there was no men stepping up to do it. And he said, I'm going to save Israel no matter what, so I'll raise up Deborah to do it because she's a beast, right? And, you know, like, I don't know, maybe like, I don't know who's a big, strong woman right now out there, but all you guys in here, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, I was trying to think of like an MMA fighter or something. But Deborah, right? And then there's this elaborate story of Deborah, God calls Barak, and then Deborah gets raised up, and then this, really the victory goes in the hand of this like, almost like servant woman, right? Or like, anyways, this, and she like, JL drives a stake through this guy's head. Crazy. Right? Crazy stories. And Shamgar is nestled in between these two. He has one verse of his story. One verse. Right? Two elaborate, heroic stories of extraordinary, unique individuals. In the middle of that is Shamgar. And I'd like to give you some context and blow your mind with like some kind of Greek, like, I don't know, sprinkle of awesomeness, but really all it is Shamgar. His name like means sword or judge. Cool, right? Not like any sort of like. And then his, but this is interesting. His father, right, or his people, he says son of Anath. Anath, right, can mean answer, which is interesting. But what's even more interesting is Anath is like related to like a foreign like pagan god. And so we have to think, okay, well, so Shamgar was like, was he mixed? You know, he was a foreigner. Like Shamgar, he wasn't the Jew of Jews or the Israelite of Israelite. He was a man, right? There was a part of God's people, but he had a past of a family that wasn't probably well respected in the Israelite community. And God used him to save Israel. And then the other thing is that the weapon that he uses to fight these Philistines is an ox goad. Does anybody know what an ox goad is? Anybody? Yeah, it's like a stick, right? It's like a big stick with a point on the end of it, right? Sometimes metal, sometimes just a stick, right? Or like a hook or something like that. You just poke ox, get him to work. This guy's a farmer. This guy's not some warrior out of, you know, 300, but he's a farmer with an ox goad in his hand. And God says, Shamgar, I want you to save Israel. Yep. Yep. And what does he do? He strikes down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. And he too saved Israel. Yeah. And then what? What happens after that? That's it. There's no party. I'm sure there was parties, right? People were saved, right? I'm sure there was. But it doesn't talk about a party. It doesn't say that Shamgar then becomes king of Israel and he reigns for 40 years. And I'm just speculating here, but I'm sure that Shamgar probably just goes back to doing what he was doing before God called him to save Israel. That he goes back to the farm, he goes back taking care of the oxen, he goes back to tending his garden, taking care of his family, and doing just what God had for him to do. He fulfilled the calling that God had for his life, and he continued to live out his life, right, as a follower of the Lord. Right? And so who cares? Right? What does that mean? Right? Why does it matter? Why does it matter that we have this little tiny story of a pretty ordinary guy who saved Israel? Has anybody ever watched a superhero movie? Anybody heard of superheroes? Anybody? No, no. Yeah, I've never. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, a lot of people. Sean, I know. Uh-huh. Yeah, nerds. Yeah. Sean said nerds. That's funny. Right? And so we live in a time that's saturated, right? I love movies. I love books. I love comic books. I like, you know, stories. I mean, I graduated a degree in history. I'm a preacher. I tell stories, right? I love stories. I love good stories. And we live in a time that's saturated by a lot of superhero stories, right? There's probably like 5 superhero movies already came out this year, and TV shows and cartoons and blah, 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 right? They're everywhere, right? And because of that, we have been accustomed to what that teaches. And what that teaches is that we need unique, extraordinary people to change or save the world. Yeah. Right? And we're thinking people like Deborah or Ehud, right? Like Captain America, right? Where he like punches Hitler in the face, right? He fights Nazis, right? Captain America, this super soldier that, you know, he's strong, he's handsome. I mean, maybe I didn't have to say handsome, but he's strong and he's powerful, right? And that's awesome. That makes for a great story, and that's exciting, and that's good. But what I think the story of Shamgar teaches us is that God uses ordinary people who are willing to use the tools that he already put in their hands to change and save the world. Right? And the thing about it is Shamgar wasn't forced to use what God put in his hand. He wasn't commanded he wasn't drug into the battle. Right? I don't believe his story is elaborate because we don't have a beautiful story about his life to tell. I don't. But the reason I think is because he was just obedient. When God said, "Would you do this?" He said, "Okay. I guess I got this. I'll try this." You know? Yeah. Right? He wasn't forced to save Israel, but God gave him an opportunity to. He gave him an opportunity to use what he already blessed him with. He already gave him to change the world, to save a people. And since I made a Nazi reference earlier, I just went to the Holocaust Museum, well, like 2 days ago, a couple days ago, with my sister and her husband and, excuse me, my son and my wife. You can expect that Jack wasn't a fan, so we rushed through it. But I heard this story while I was there. And it was somebody who saved lots of people during that tragedy. And this guy, he wasn't like this like military captain or this cool secret agent spy. He was a guy in a customs office with a stamp in his hand. And he approved visas one after another, saving thousands of Jews. This was a man who had something in his hand that was ordinary. Something you could buy at the store today for a couple dollars. And God gave him the opportunity to save thousands of lives. Right? I think these stories of incredible, extraordinary people are awesome, and they tell a good story. And I think the kingdom of God needs those people too, right? Shamgar's in the Bible, but so is Ehud and Deborah. But you know what I see here? I see people, right, that have what God has already given them do incredible things. All right, and what's awesome about this is, like, I see people in here. I see people in here with tools already in your hands. Amen. Tools that God has already given you to bring change, to save lives, to be a father or a mother or a teacher or a leader, to comfort and to protect. Right, for my mom, right, a tool that's often been in her hand is a spoon, right? And she's used it to feed lots of hungry people. And not just their bellies, but if she has them in their kitchen, she can feed their souls. Man, my wife, she was trained as a nurse, and she was a nurse for a little bit. But God has used that, tools that he given her, tools that he trained her in to take care of students at Marshall University, both on campus and off of campus. And I've had people stay at my house who had, you know, staph infections eating at their legs. I've had people, right, she's given blood to people in the bottom of the student center, right? Like, I mean, just, you know, or like fluids, not blood, sorry. Fluids. Wasn't given blood. But, you know, like, she's protected people, but at the same time, and then that opens the door that she's formed friendships and mentorships with the students, that she can not only mend their bodies, but that she can mend their hearts. Oftentimes, God has used a fishing pole to open the door to people's hearts. Yeah. I got a lot of pictures of me fishing in newsletters, and so don't think that all I do as a missionary is fish. I do it sometimes. But I take young men fishing so that I can open the door to something deeper that's going on in their lives. Right? That many of these guys that I've taken fishing, right, are working for the Army Corps of Engineers, or they're missionaries, right, or they're leaders in their spheres of influences or their churches. Man, they're being raised up right now to be student leaders on campus. Man, would you use what's in your hand, the tools that God has already given you, to do what he calls you to do so you can change the world? And we don't change the world by just changing the world, but we change the world by changing the situations that we're in for the better. saying, God, God has given me some skills and some tools. I got a really stupid sense of humor, and He's broken my heart for people. He's trained me as a teacher so that I can be a minister to college students. So I can invite them to know Jesus. So that I can tell them, you're not far off. You're not far off. I can tell them who they are in Christ. And I can encourage them to do what God has called them to do with the tools that He's giving them every day. All right, and so my question for you guys is ask yourself, whether it's today or this week, is what are the tools that God has given me? What is the tools that God has given me? What are the tools that God has given me? And what does He want me to use them for? Because I think that sometimes, right, I think that sometimes we have the tools, but we don't use them for what He's called us to give them, right, to do. Right, these college students are going to leave the university with tools in their hand. And they can use those tools to bring life, or they can use those tools to bring death. And I'm not just speaking in like parallel dramatics just to say it, but I really do believe that, man, if we have the power of life and death in our tongue, then we need to take that seriously. Right? Because there's other nurses out there that we've seen on the news that wasn't using their skills for the right thing. Right? We've seen the true crime stories and the crazy things. Right? There's people with spoons in their hands. Right, my mom needed to correct me every so often with a spoon, but that was good. That brought life to me later on. there's been tools that God has given me to teach, and I can teach a whole lot of things. Right, I can teach a whole lot of things that people want me to teach. But what I want to do is I want to teach people how they can know Jesus, how they can love people, and how they can pass it on. And so ask yourself, God, what are the tools that You've given me? What do You want me to use them for? And then when He says this, you say, okay, I'll do that. And then you too can save Israel. Right? You too can be a force for the kingdom of God that brings change, not just now, but for eternity. And so I'm going to close today, and I guess it was kind of short. But I want to close today in prayer and with an opportunity, right? And maybe you're saying, Caleb, I don't have anything in my hand, right? You're like, I asked the question, and it's just, crickets in your head, right? You're like, God, what have the tools You've given me? Okay, I guess nothing, right? And that's maybe what you're thinking. And I promise you that that's probably not the case. But there was a man who lived like 2,000 years ago, and he had the tools to call down legions of angels, right, and destroy everybody that came against him. But instead, he went with no tools to the cross. Yeah. And he used that, and he gave up that power so that he could die for you, so that you might have life and have it to the full. So you could be empowered by His Holy Spirit to go and change the world. Right? And the 12 disciples, they weren't the A-team. They weren't the guys with the smartest wit or the best tools, right? But because of what Jesus did, they were able to do incredible things. And so if you're feeling that way, like you don't have any tools to offer, man, what I offer to you is Jesus. And so if you don't know Him today, I don't ever want to leave an opportunity for people not to know Him. If you don't know Him today, man, all it is Jesus, I believe. Right? The Bible says if we believe in our hearts that He was raised from the dead and we confess it with our mouth that He is Lord, we will be saved. And you can do that at your seat, or you can come up and I can pray with you just as a blessing and a confirmation. I don't make that choice, that's you. And the other thing is, maybe you know what God is calling you to do, but you're scared and you're nervous. I've been there. I'm there a lot. Because God is continuously calling us to do things. Not things that are a burden, but things that will bring life and help us grow. And so if that's you, if you know what God is calling you to do, but you're nervous or you're scared, man, I would love to pray for you as well. I'm just going to hang around up here, and then after service, I'm going to hang around in the back. If you want to talk to me more about Chi Alpha stuff, I'll be at that table in the lobby, and just I'll be hanging around and stuff. But don't leave here this morning with a missed opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Man, it'll change you, and it won't just change you, but it'll change the generations after you. Because I believe the decisions we make don't just have weight now, but they have it throughout eternity. And so I encourage you to do that today. So I'm going to pray here, close up, and then if you guys need some prayer, come see me after this. And I'm going to give the mic back to Lisa and stop yapping. But thank you, Jesus, for these people in here today who you've already given the tools to do what you've called them to do. Lord, use ordinary people with ordinary tools to do extraordinary things. Don't let them see anything that you've called them to do as too insignificant. Lord, Shamgar defeated an opposing army. But God, you might just call us to open our homes to those that are lost and hurting. And so God, would you help us to do that? Would you empower us, Holy Spirit? Would you lead us? Would you give us the vision and the path that you have for us? And would you help us get there? Lord, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know you this morning, man, would you just give them the courage to say yes? Yes to you, Father. Say, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to follow you. And that you would seal them through baptism next week. Man, God, would you do that? Would you do that? Would you stir their hearts to follow you? We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys want to stand with me?
I'm calling on.